few weeks ago, we heard a sermon entitled, Can You Believe the Unbelievable? If you remember, we were looking at Jesus when he was about to be crucified. He was making preparations to have the Last Supper with his disciples before his crucifixion. And we looked at where he told a couple of his disciples to go into town, and they'd find a donkey tied, and to just take the donkey, and if anybody said anything, just say the Lord has need of him. And we talked about what a ridiculous request that might seem to most of us, not knowing anything about where the donkey would be, whose he was, or if we even find one. But we realize that God, when God sends us to do something, when he calls us to do something, he has already prepared the way. And that was the case there. When the disciples did what God had asked them to do, everything was in place just like he said it would be. The donkey was there. They got the donkey and brought him. And that donkey was the donkey that Jesus would ride into town on. One that had never been ridden, but Jesus rode him. And so we think about things that are unbelievable. And if we look at the Bible's full of those things. Things that are unbelievable, where God asks somebody to do something and on the surface it looks like, you know, that's an unbelievable task, unconquerable task. But we know that when God calls us to it, he will take us through it. This morning I want to go all the way back to the first of the Bible, back in the book of Genesis, and look at another example of a request that probably sounded pretty ridiculous. And see what we can see about the way God's work. God works when we take a step of faith, when we take that leap of faith and begin to do what God has called us to do. We're looking in Genesis, the very beginning, when God had created the earth and everything in and around it. He had created animals, created the first man, Adam, and put him in charge of all the animals that had been created, and put him in a garden, a beautiful garden, called the Garden of Eden, where he was allowed to eat anything in the garden except for one tree in the middle of the garden, and that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that tree he was supposed to not even touch. And then he realized that Adam needed a helpmate, a helper. And so he was the first anesthesiologist. He put Adam to sleep, and he took a rib out of his side. And with that rib, he created woman as a helper for Adam. And so we know then the story of how sin entered into the world. The serpent came along and tempting Eve, and she said, you know, God said we can eat anything in the garden except for the fruit off of the tree of knowledge in the center of the garden, and we're not even supposed to touch that. And he said, that's not true. He said, God just don't want you to eat that because you're going to be wise like him. And so Eve took the bait. She fell to the temptation. She ate of the fruit. She gave it to Adam. He ate of the fruit. And sin entered into the world. The curse of death came upon us. And that's the reason that we are doomed to die one day this physical death we experienced because Adam and Eve failed to do what God told them to do. If they had never eaten of that one tree, they'd have lived forever because the tree of life was also in the garden. As a matter of fact, when they failed and they ate of that forbidden fruit, the tree of knowledge and good and evil, God took them out of the garden so that they would not eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever. And so you and I are suffering the consequence today of the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. All you ladies who have had children, that's the reason that you have such a terrible time giving birth, because that was the curse that was put on Eve. And you guys, we got to work hard. We got a lot of weeds that come up in the garden when you try to plant it. That's all part of the curse because of Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. And so you can thank them for that, but thankfully we have a Savior that now has paid for our sin and we can get forgiveness of that. So as we read there in the first part of Genesis, we see that as the population grew, so did the sin of mankind. And when you read that, it's a lot like reading the news today or watching the news today when you see what the Bible says there about what was going on in the very beginning there when man continued to sin. In the first few verses of chapter 6 in Genesis, where we're going to start, and we'll go through at least part of chapter 7, Lord willing. But in Genesis chapter 6, beginning verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Does that sound familiar to you today? When you think about all the things that are going on today in this world that we live in, can we not see that the wickedness of man is great on the earth? It's terrible today. And it seems that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. We see things worse and worse and worse. More and more things I never believed that we would accept a lot of the things that we have accepted in the United States of America. And especially not only accept it, but promote it. But we're seeing it now. And so when we read about this, how bad it was back in Noah's day, then how bad it is in our day, it ought to make us think a little bit about how long is it going to be before he comes and takes us out of here. And so things were terrible. God saw the wickedness of man, and it was great in the earth. It was terrible. It's terrible today. Secondly, it grieved God that man had become so sinful. So he decided to destroy life that he had created and put on the earth. Do you not think that it grieves God today when he sees the sin that is rampant in this world that we live in today? I believe it does. I believe it breaks his heart. It grieves him because he's not only did he create us, put us here, but then he gave his own begotten son to pay for our sin, to give us a way out. And so many times we just deny that. So many people are denying that invitation and opportunity to be forgiven. So in verse 6 and 7 there of chapter 6, it says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Again in verse 11 and 12, "The earth was also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." So God saw what he had made. He had created first Adam and Eve and put them in a beautiful garden, gave them everything they could ever possibly want, and they messed it up. And sin then got rampant, and the more people, the more sin. And so it grieved God. It broke his heart that he had even created man. And so he decided that he was going to destroy life. Not only man, but the beast, all the animals as well. But we find then that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 8, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a man of God. Noah was a man who was faithful to God, who was obedient to God. And God recognized that and realized that. He knows all of us. He knows your heart. He knows exactly what your intentions are. He knows what your desires are, if your desire to serve him, or if your desires are for self, or whatever the case might be. God knows exactly what's in your heart. He knows whether you love him or whether you don't. It's not about what you profess. It's about what you possess. And God knows what you possess. He knows your heart. And so, because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, because Noah was a man of God, because Noah was faithful to God to do what God had called him to do, God said to Noah that he wanted to build an ark. And so he called on Noah to build an ark. Now, to most of us today, this really don't seem like such a terrible request. I mean, most of us have seen floods, right? I've seen some floods. We've all seen, or at least read about, or seen the reports of floods, even recently, some terrible floods. Some of them where the water rose so fast that people were not able to escape. They didn't have enough warning to escape, and many lives were lost because of those. But I've seen floods. I remember back in, I think it was 1990 and 1993, down when I was living down Red Bay, and there we were. Red Bay was pretty much cut off from, there was one way in and one way out of Red Bay. The main highway, Highway 81, was underwater, both north and south of Red Bay. There was a lot of water down there. Pretty good flood. Did it twice within like three years' time. So I've seen a little bit of flooding myself. So, you know, when God started talking about a flood, to us it might not seem too much to believe that there would be a flood. We know what rain is. We're hoping for some more rain today, you know. But we need to look and see exactly what was going on at this particular time in Noah's life when God made this request to Noah. And we will find that he didn't know what a flood was. It had never rained when God spoke to Noah and told him to build an ark. It's going to flood. It's going to flood the earth. Say, well, do you know that it hadn't rained? Well, Genesis says it in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 through 6. It said, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So Noah had never seen rain. He didn't know what rain was. It hadn't rained. There was a mist that came up. I can imagine it kind of like our dews. You know, you get up in the morning and everything's wet because of the dew. And then it dries up after a while. So Noah, when God started talking to Noah about building an ark and telling him it's going to rain, and it's never rained, that would be kind of alarming, wouldn't it? Now you want me to build a boat, and it's never rained? A flood? What in the world is a flood? Noah would have thought. He hadn't seen it rain. Certainly he didn't know what a flood was. And what about an ark? Her boat? How am I going to get something that big to the river? There was a river. But I can imagine him thinking, how can I get that to the river? How would he build such a big boat? I mean, God gave him the dimensions. Remember that? 450 feet long. Anybody ever been out to Arkansas to the Ark? A few have. And I have not, would like to. But if you get a chance to go to see it, it is built to the dimension that God gave to Noah, so you can get a life-size picture of exactly what Noah was called to do. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet tall. This was a three-story boat that Noah was called upon to build. That's a pretty big task, would you not think? But, you know, not undoable. My goodness, with the tools we got nowadays, that wouldn't be too bad, you know. A couple of years and probably get that built. A couple of years. Took a little bit longer than that for Noah to build it. But think again about what Noah had to work with. He didn't have the tools we have now. He didn't have any of those tools. No battery-operated tools. No, not even electrical tools. He didn't have any of that. So think about this request that God has made of Noah to build an ark. A huge, huge boat. And how's he going to do that? It seems to be an impossible task. But he remembered, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's the thing that we need to keep in our minds, that with man a lot of things are impossible. With God nothing is impossible. And when God has called you to do it, then it's not an insurmountable task. Because if God's called you to do it, He will make a way for it to happen. He just wants somebody to be obedient to Him. He's not out looking for people who have particular abilities. He's looking for people who have availability, who will avail themselves to Him to do what He has called them to do. He don't worry about your ability. Obviously, He didn't, you know, argue with Him for a long time about my ability, and I still don't have the ability to preach. But He said, I'm not looking for ability. I'm just looking for availability. I just want somebody to do what I say do. And that's all He wants today, still. When He asked Noah to do this, there were certainly a lot of questions that might have come into Noah's mind. But I see Noah not really pondering over it, not really worrying about how it's going to be done, because he had faith in God. And he knew that God was able to do whatever he wanted to do, and certainly able to do what he asked him to do. And so building the ark would be a great challenge. That's an awful big boat. And then think about getting all the animals on the boat. Can you imagine going out here today and trying to get a pair of every animal that there is? You know? Go out there in the wild and start catching you a couple of lions, tigers, bears. Oh, you got to get a pair of all these birds that's flying around in there. They're pretty easy to catch, aren't they? You know, he's got to get all those because he's got to get them in the ark. And we think that's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. So even when it seems an insurmountable challenge, when it seems like a ridiculous request, it seems like there's just no possible way, remember, with God all things are possible. And so we find that Noah was obedient. He was obedient to do what God called him to do. And Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. The Bible says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. He was obedient to do what God called him to do. Again, in chapter 7, in verse 5 and 6. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And so, again, God's not looking for availability. He's looking for ability. He's looking for availability. He's looking for somebody that will just say, here, my Lord, send me. Somebody that will just do what he has asked them to do. We have a lot of opportunities. God calls us to do a lot of things. One of the things that He's called us all to do is be witnesses wherever we go. You know, we have the Great Commission, the Great Commandment. Go into the world and teach all. How do we teach them? We teach them by example. Yes, we teach them by word, but most importantly, we teach by example, because if you tell somebody something and you're not doing it yourself, you're not going to teach them how to do it, because they're going to see what you're doing. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world. And so that's the first priority. As believers, we are to be sharing Jesus Christ with others that we come in contact with. And we all come in contact with many different people. You know, it's depending on, it may be on our job, it may be at school, it may be at the grocery store, wherever it might be, we have opportunity that God has given us to share the gospel. And God has commanded us to do that. We say, well, you know, I can't do that. Noah could have said, well, I can't do that. I can't build that boat. But Noah had faith in God. And you and I need to have faith in God to do what God calls us to do. And so Noah was obedient to that. He did exactly what God called him to do. He set out to build a boat, and he built it. He built that boat, and after the boat was built, he built it to the exact dimensions that God had told him. God had given him the dimensions of the boat to build. He built it to those dimensions, and then he got the animals. Verse 7, and the Lord said to Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast that thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and the female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, a male and female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive on the face of the earth for yet 7 years, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto what the Lord commanded him to do. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, and of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. Went in two by two to Noah into the ark, male and female, as God commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. And so God told Noah what to do, and Noah was just obedient to do it. And that's all we need to do, is just be obedient to do what God has called us to do. And there are a lot of things that God calls us to do. For me, he called me to preach. I argue with that. But I found out that it's a lot better to be obedient than it is to fight it, because you'll be miserable if you don't do what God calls you to do. I've been miserable for a lot of years before I finally surrendered to the ministry. I know some of you still think I can't preach, and I don't disagree with that, but here I am to do what God has called me to do. And I found out that there's not a more miserable place in the world than out of His will, not a more peaceful place in the world than right in the center of His will. So if you're miserable, maybe you might want to try doing it His way instead of your way. Let Him have His way in your life. Be obedient to Him, and let Him bless you, because He wants to bless you. But many times we deprive ourselves of a whole lot of blessings because we just won't be obedient to Him. We won't do what God called us to do, what He's asked us to do. And so we need to do what He's called. We need to step out sometimes in faith. We need to step out always in faith and do what God asks us to do. Are you willing to do that? You know, just take that step of faith. Bible says without faith it's impossible to please Him. If we walk by faith and not by sight, You know, if we always wait until we see how we can accomplish a task, we'll not get a whole lot done. You reckon how long it would have taken Noah to build the ark if he'd have waited until he had all the resources and the ability and figured out how he was going to catch all them animals and all that stuff? It never got built. But he didn't do that. He just believed God. And that's what we need to do today, is just believe God. There's some things that need to be done from time to time. And I've noted a couple of examples of some things that are here that have been done by faith. And just an example of what God can do when God's people will just put their faith in Him instead of putting their faith in themselves and their own abilities. Somewhere well over 20 years ago, there was this church had started trying to make plans. They were wanting to put a cover over the front of the church or some cover there. There was no cover for elderly or handicapped people. If it was raining, there was no way to get in the church without getting saturated. And so they had gotten plans drawn up to build a small drive-through out at the front of the church there so they could get in and out without getting wet. And they had the money to do that. But if they spent the money on that, then they were afraid they wouldn't have money to pay the bills and continue to operate. And so they kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing was done. And there were the two restrooms that are back in the back. The ladies have a nice restroom back in the back. There's two stalls back there. I always said they were a little bit prejudiced against the men, because the men restrooms about three times the size of this pulpit I'm standing in front of. And that's not exaggerating. If it's exaggerated, I might be saying it's bigger than it actually is. But that was all restrooms they had. And for anyone during church, if they had to go to the restroom, they had to come right by here or go outside and go around the building to come in. And it was pretty inconvenient. And so later on, people realized that there was, in fact, a need. And so the front, as you see it now, with the large restrooms and the lot larger drive-through than what was on the original plans, was built. And because people believed that God was able to do what needed to be done to further His work here on this earth. And so that was all done. And guess what? The church was not broke when it was all done. The church actually had a lot more money when all that was completed than they had before it was started, because the membership realized that there was a need, and it was for God's glory and His will to be able to do that. And so they decided, you know, that's what God wants, and it'll further His kingdom here on this earth. Then let's step out on faith and do it. And it was done. And the money came. There was plenty of money to do it, and more money when it was done than it was before it was started. Why do I say that? Because if the church had just continued to say, well, we just don't have the money to do that, then we'd probably still be here with no covered area so someone could get under when you have a funeral. You know, and if weather's bad, no place to get the body in and out without, you know, getting everything wet. And we'd still be there. But thankfully, people had faith in God, believed God, was able to do it. And that addition was put on there. And now it's a nice addition, and it, and it accommodates people when it's raining or whatever the case might be. Something that was needful for God's work. There's a need now that that we have, that I believe strongly that we have. God's given us such a tremendous opportunity working with our children and youth, and the facilities that we have are kind of like the men's room back in the back, not nearly big enough to really accommodate the children and youth that we have here on Friday nights. And so there's a need for a facility to accommodate that ministry and to hopefully increase that ministry and to help out with reaching our young people and help this community in a lot of ways by building a larger building, something like a gymnasium-sized building. I really believe that that's God's will for us to move on that. We've been discussing it for months now with no movement. But my request for you today is to pray about that thing. And if that's God's will for us to do it, that we'll be able to move forward and do that. I believe, personally, I believe that it's God's will. And I know that if it's God's will, God will, He'll provide for all the resources. You know? We just need to, we don't need to keep sitting. If that's God's will for it to do, it may seem insurmountable to some of you. Some of you think, well, we just don't have the money to do that. Well, God's got all the money in the world. You know, if Noah didn't have the resources necessarily to build an ark, but when God said do it, God provides. Noah didn't have the ability to go out there and catch all them animals up, but God had the ability to send those animals right to the ark when it was time. You see, it's not our ability. It's God's ability. What is ours is the availability, the faith in God, just to trust Him. And many people struggle even in trusting Him for salvation. You know, it's a faith thing. It takes faith to believe that Jesus died on the cross, that He was beaten and suffered before He went on the cross, because none of us were there. We believe it by faith. We trust Him by faith. And if you'll trust Him by faith, in whatever your circumstance and situation in life, if you'll put your trust completely and totally in Him, I promise you, He will bless you. He will meet your needs. What does He say in Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. He's talking about material things, food, clothing, and housing, and He will supply the need if you'll just simply put Him first. Put your faith in Him. Trust Him. Believe Him. We've got to believe that God is able to do all things. Nothing is impossible with God. Let's believe that. Trust Him with your life, first and foremost. When you trust Him with your life, totally and completely, all these other things will be a whole lot easier. It was a lot easier for Noah because he'd already put his faith and trust in God. He knew God was able and God would do whatever He asked Him to do. Let's believe today. Father, God, I love You and thank You today for Your love and for the blessings. I thank You for the many examples that we have all throughout Your Word. I thank You for the many times that I have personally witnessed You at work doing impossible things, things that to man are impossible, but to You, nothing is impossible. And so, Lord, help us to really grasp that fact that with God all things are possible. Lord, help us that we will be willing to step out on faith and to do that that you've called each one of us individually to do. And as a body of believers, you've called us to do some things. Lord, thank you for these opportunities that you give us to reach out in this community. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to trust you in providing for all that we need to be able to do that in a more effective way. We love you and praise you for all things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. If you're here today and you've just been struggling with allowing God to have control of your life, you know, that's the struggle that we have when we've not accepted Christ as our Savior. We've never trusted him and allowed him to have control of our life. We're struggling with our faith, believing that God is truly able to help us, to take care of us, to get us through, to provide for all of our needs. And if you're struggling with that today and you've never trusted him to be Savior, you've never surrendered your life to him, today would be a great time to do that. Maybe you're here and you've trusted him, but you've strayed away from that. And you hadn't been living that life. You hadn't really been living your life in the way that it demonstrated your faith in him. People are watching that. And you might want to come back and recommit your life. Say, God, I'm sorry. I haven't been living like I should. I haven't been doing the things I should. I've set some bad examples before my neighbors, my family, whatever. And I want to come back, recommit my life, and get back where I need to be in my relationship with you today. Whatever the need, he may be calling you to be a member of this church, to commit to a particular calling or responsibility, whatever it is. If God's speaking to you, we'll give you just a moment.